Welcome to another episode of Chat with Dan. This is your host, Dan. Now, before we start, let me just tell you that we are starting a new season right now, so get ready, because we have a lot of amazing people coming to the show. In the meantime, enjoy this episode, keep having an amazing rest of the day or evening, of course, depending where you are, but also, if it is your birthday, let me just wish you an amazing, incredible happy birthday, and again, thank you so much for listening to it, and I'll see you in the next one. Perfect. So, Aisha, how are you today?
Hey! So nice to meet you again.
Same here. Same here. What can I say? I mean, what better way to have an epic Saturday with someone as epic as you? You know what I mean?
That's sweet. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So, welcome to the show. It is so amazing to have you here. So, starting right now, and you know, jumping to the whole interview now, tell me, how your acting career started?
Well, I was a very young girl. I was put into a couple of projects through my schools at first. I was 7 years old. I sang the national anthem with some of the other students for the Met. And when I was even younger than that, at 5, I was on Romper Room. So I just, as a very shy child, for some reason, I felt super comfortable when there were many, many people watching a performance that I made, and my parents, for therapeutic reasons, were like, this is actually very healthy for our daughter, worth this. And I went on by doing this, being the starring role of all of my school plays, which was shocking for people because I didn't talk off of the stage, right? So, you know, when I continued on, I guess the first professional job I had to get my SAG card was to be in a Honeycombs commercial.
Yeah.
Sort of took off from there. And like I said, so importantly, my parents were both very supportive of this for me.
That's so cool. That's so cool. And what were some of the challenges that you had when you were recently starting with your acting career? I mean, we all have them, right? Whenever we started doing something new, we tend to be in this learning curve, right? So for you, what were some of those challenges that you had when you were, you know, recently started?
When I recently started, I didn't have any challenges. Challenges that I started experiencing were as I became an adult, and whatever chefs and chauffeurs and whatever it was I was fortunate enough to be brought up with, you know, when you become an adult and you don't get pampered by your parents anymore, a lot of the acting has to go on to a secondary career to hold the hand of whatever it is you're doing in the art field, which they don't really teach in school.
Yeah.
So it's been very challenging to find yourself outside of being an artist to figure out other skills are, because my life is primarily auditions, but in between my filmings you have to be doing something productive and supportive of yourself. So the journey of what I did outside of acting has, I'd say, the most challenging thing for me. Acting has never been so challenging. It's just you go to the audition, you're right for the role, you book it or not, and it's just been pretty cut and dry and simple.
Yeah, that's amazing. Now, starting with your career on theater. So you were in plays such as Brave New World, Nussex Antics. But tell me, like, how you usually prepare before going on stage? I mean, do you have a, let's say like a ritual or something that you always do in order to kind of set your mind to start performing?
First of all, I have to say I am so impressed that you know about my off-Broadway and Lower East Side career.
Yeah.
Sort of some things that a lot of people don't know about me that I did start in theater. I've always felt exhilarated before stepping on stage. I do remember something I said to my mother growing up as a child, and she always told me how strange I was for saying this, but she asked me, don't you get nervous before you get on stage? That is when I feel the most calm. And she is like, you are strange. So it's like a weird thing. I get nervous at certain times, but it's not before they call action for some reason.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And like from all of your different performances on theater so far, tell me, what are some of your favorite ones? But also, what advice could you give to those who, you know, are just recently started on theater?
I absolutely love telling beginning artists what to watch out for as far as pitfalls. And I stay away, don't do it, like most people say, because I love seeing people follow their dreams. Although I started in theater, I landed in the movie world. Mm-hmm. Occasionally I will do TV, but it's mostly I'm a movie actress. So as far as theater, I'm gonna just, you know, I think it's just so important to be authentic.
Yeah.
And they say it's not even the most important thing to give the best performance and put all that pressure on yourself, but more like give it something real, real life, realistic, something that's art, something believable that you can connect with, even if it seems like wrong. If it's you, it's right, because you're the one playing that part.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, I mean, now that you mentioned film, moving on here to your performances on film, but also on TV, you were in Gotham, Law and Order, We're Out, Arresting Gina, and The Money Shot. I mean, the list goes on and on. I mean, looking at your resume, I mean, you have this huge list, by the way. It is amazing. Tell me, like, how you usually prepare a character. Now, I understand, of course, that depends on the role, but like, what usually sets you up as well into this process of creating a character that, well, at the end, it's gonna be you, but you are like putting yourself aside to put somebody else on your body to, you know, express something. So how you usually prepare that?
So there's a couple of different stages of the game. There's the audition process where you don't get the script and really understand coming from where you're going.
Totally.
And it's just really just about working with what you're given. I like to simplify that into what's my intention and what are a couple of adjectives that this character could use to describe this character, and of those adjectives, which ones of those adjectives do I hold as a person so I could relate? And if I relate, what is something about the character that is relatable just to a human? You know, so you could use different techniques like placement technique, like it's called, as if, you know, as if, like, I know that you would never do this as a person, but it's like as if this, and then if you could relate to that, now all of a sudden you're being connected through that line. There's so many different tricks, and I hate calling it tricks, but like tools in your tool belt that you could pull out at those moments. As far as actually landing the character, once you have the script and you know where they're coming from and you know where they're going, it's just so much more simple at that point to just understand who this person is. There's so much more of a character description that you get, and then you actually get the privilege of sitting down with the director and talking more in depth about who this person is, where they're coming. I've been lucky enough to sit down and get to write backstories with the director of certain characters, and they even let me have my own take on certain things. They even let me have some spontaneous, like, improvisation on set, as long as I remember what they are for the angle. I've gotten to get really creative, and they've kept some of my blunders as actual takes at times.
Absolutely.
But once you're working with an amazing director, there is no going wrong, because their vision, they will let you have some creative freedom, but if you're too far off track of what they're looking for, they'll just tell you, could you reel that a little bit back in? Could you bring that a little bit more out? And if you're a good actor, you're easy to work with, you'll listen to your boss, what the director has to say. Yes, I know it's a collaborative experience, but they're still the boss. you still got to take your orders. Job is. So it becomes so much more simple to work hand in hand with a director. Mm-hmm. Knows what they're doing, and especially the kind of director who's an actor's director that knows how to communicate and speak with the specific actor that they chose and what that communication looks like, making sure that their directions are getting through properly. And I've been lucky enough to have that experience many times.
That is amazing.
Thank you.
That is so cool. I mean, such a journey that you have here. And like, what do you like the most about being on a film set? And what's the number one thing that you always carry with you when you have to go to shoot a film?
Oh, wow. Being on a movie set, I mean, sometimes we're lucky enough to get to be on a film set, but sometimes today it's a digital set. Right. You know, sometimes people are shooting on a camera, sometimes people shoot on their iPhones. Who knows what they're shooting on these days, but we're not always lucky enough to get film. But when I am on an actual set, that's where the magic begins, and that's where all the experts come together, the directors, the art directors, the set directors, like everyone that's just been primed and chosen for these jobs come together, and that's when the energy and the magic happens, and the spontaneity and the happy accidents and the energy starts happening to you. You allow it to happen to you, and it's just a very magical feeling.
Absolutely.
I consider myself a professional gambler for being in this industry. Are you kidding? But it's really, have to be a little bit, you know, not of this world to continue in this industry. It's not normal. It's not a normal life. Nothing about it. Like, to actually get into it and stay into it for as many decades, there needs to always be a baby that's a dreamer or a child or something different.
Okay. Now, if you could describe a movie in which all of the characters that you have played at the moment will gather all of them for a party, tell me what would be the name of that film.
That's an amazing question. And remind me to tell you what I bring to the film set. I forgot about that question before. Okay, so all the characters I play, wow. I mean, I just, again, feel like going back to the whole like Alice in Wonderland or Peter Pan or Tinkerbell thing because of what it takes to be there and the joyous childhood kind of energy that you have to bring with you. Like, it's like it would be like some kind of like fairy tale or like Disney type of movie, even though some of the characters I've played have been dark.
Yeah.
And very like fairy tale-esque notes in my life and my characters. So I don't know. That's the best I could come up with. What about you? Have you come up with something that could outdo what I just said, because I feel like you can maybe one-up me on this one, maybe.
No, it's okay. Yeah, no, it's, I mean, it's, what can I say? I mean, it is, so while I was doing, like, the whole research, right, and I was checking, like, your whole, like, all the things that you have done here and there, I mean, it's amazing. As I was saying before, I mean, you are doing a lot, and, like, really a lot, and it is really cool. So for me to say like a name, that would be super hard. But I would say probably something like, so I think that, I mean, I don't know, probably like, I don't know.
It's a hard one. You came up with a hard question.
Yeah. I mean, probably something like, you know, it is so interesting because I just don't have any, my brain is empty right now.
A hard question. You asked me another question before, if there's anything that I bring to set with me, and God rest my mother's soul, who died of brain cancer way too young, but I used to bring her where I went, and she used to come with me to all of my sets anytime I filmed, and now I don't bring anything with me. I just come alone, pretty much.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Now, if you could describe your career at the moment, but this time on a movie, TV show, book, play, even a musical, why not? Tell me, what would be the title of it?
Again, I feel like it's some type of fairy tale. What would be a good name of a modern day fairy tale? From a girl?
Probably like She Keep Persisted, or Hold On. You know, it could have like a name like that, or She Keep Persisting It, or I mean, I'm just throwing like, you know, I'm just throwing names. What about
Between the Cracks? But that's a dark one too. Like, I want it to be like more Disney, but like kind of dark comedy.
Yeah, I guess.
I gotta think about it, actually.
Yeah, I tell you what, you can later either put it on the comment, or let me know later and I will add it as well. So you can tell me later. But this next one here, so it's again describing your career, but now on a drink or a meal, which one would you choose?
What kind of drink? Is it wine?
Could it be?
Love, but only FDA standard limits. Like, ladies and gentlemen, not drink more than FDA standards of wine. And that is because I never want to be an alcoholic, because if I'm an alcoholic, that means I'd have to stop drinking wine, and I don't ever want to stop drinking wine. Follow the standard, because I love wine. Yeah, that's probably one of my favorite things in the world.
Wine, I like it. Okay. Alright, so yeah, okay, I can understand. So your career on a drink, it's wine.
Oui. Mais oui, monsieur.
Perfect. Love it. Now, what motivates you? You know, we all have those days in which you want to quit. You know, we basically just want to quit. We think that what we are doing is not good enough. You know, like getting inside into all of this toxic bubble, it's way too easy, right? But what gets you out? You know, my question here is what grabs you so you can be back on your feet and continue doing the thing that you love the most, which is acting.
I've never had a problem with being self-deprecating. I really do my best on everything I ever have put out. And when I put out a project, whether it is a movie, a song, a book, anything I do, I know I'm giving it my best for that moment. And I'm proud to have tried my hardest. It's other people that I feel, whether it be the critics, the haters, that just never put anything out because they never think anything is good enough. They're so hard on themselves. I'm not so hard on myself. I like what I do. I try my hardest. I put it out. Whatever, you know? So, I mean, I think back then, when I first started, I was motivated by more artisticness, more creativity, more experience. I was experienced by the love and the passion. And now what drives me is more fear. I have no choice. Like, I wake up and I just feel compelled. Like, I have no choice. I have to do this. I have to go on. Whether it be acting, modeling, music, I am an author as well, and I am also a New York State certified mental health peer advocate, behavioral therapy technician. As well as a personal trainer and sports nutritionist, I help people in between my artisticness get on their feet, do the best they could do, self-love, drug-free, STD-free, you know, just I'm all about being an advocate for positive mental health and self-love. So I'm constantly doing that and helping people. In fact, right now I am, studying about this one master's program that I have a high end getting to help people also to go along my act. But, you know, be clear that just because I want to get my master's in something, not mean I'm ever going to give up acting. It just means I want more, more, more. Again, it's probably out of fear of survival, of not wanting to depend on men, wanting to need anything from my family. I don't believe in this whole like rah-rah feminism thing. I believe in not wanting to be abused as a woman, whether verbally, physically, and the more women depend on other people for support, the more likely they will get abused. So I guess I have a lot of fear in me. Luckily, it's driving me to really amazing points, but until I feel completely safe and taken care of in this world, I'm not gonna stop pushing. And I'm not at maintenance level until I feel the safety and security that I desire in this world. So that's kind of honestly what drives me.
Totally, totally. Wow, that is cool. And my last question here, what can we expect from you in the future?
Well, now I just finished all the notes for my 7th book. Mm-hmm. This is part 2 of the book I put out on Barnes & Noble called Swipe. Mm-hmm. This is Swipe Part 2, and it's sort of like post-feminism, post-Me Too, post-pandemic, post-internet, post-Instagram, post-Swipe sites. It's just sort of like our women to women, women to men to men, whether you be transgender, LB, anyone, relates to anyone. After all of these components have happened in this world, all of my notes are done. I mean, it's ready to be transcribed because I do note to transcription. I write all the books. So, I mean, it's ready to be laid down. At this point, I'm just trying to figure out if I want to just put it straight on Barnes & Noble, if I would find maybe a proper lit agent or public before I decide to push the button on my own. Want to give that a little bit more time, or maybe I just want to write this, maybe I just want to get my master's and just put the book out while school or after I have an LMHC, because then the book will be more reputable. I'm just like thinking about it. So I want everyone to look out for my writings, because that's not stopping. And pretty much, you know, I'm auditioning a lot for, you know, primarily like, you know, Netflix and television movies and more movies. Please keep an eye out.
There you go.
Watch the things I've done to bring me to this point. You know, follow my Instagram, Aisha Hashwax, AishaHashwaks, and I will keep posting about what my latest achievements are, you know?
There you go, absolutely. I mean, at the end, what can I say, Aisha? I mean, your career, it is cool. What you do, it is epic. I mean, you are a total badass here. That's amazing what you do. And I'm super sure that at some point we're gonna see you and hear you basically everywhere, you know, continent for continent. Because the fact that you are doing like so many things, and you wanna raise your voice and do the thing that you love the most, but at the same time help others, I mean, that is amazing. I mean, you're basically doing everything.
Thank you so much. I mean, listen, I also want you guys to look out for our music video coming out. Me and the Mad Stuntman, who put out the song a while back, I Like to Move It, that became the theme song of Madagascar. Him and I just recently put out a song during the pandemic called It's Your Birthday. It's on iTunes. We did a video for it, but unfortunately, one of our band members died of COVID.
Oh.
Yeah, we have not released the video yet, but I'm so excited for this video now to honor the singing warrior who was in our band. So, I mean, look, I'll keep posting on my Instagram what's going to be coming out next. And I really appreciate all the the kind and charming things that you said about me.
Yeah, absolutely, always. And also, I want to thank those for watching this right now. Thank you so much for watching this right now. You're awesome. Also, if you're watching this later, like here on Instagram or YouTube or listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you're awesome as well. And also, normally what I would say is for you to go follow Aisha, like right now, and then leave a million likes. I mean, then let's go hashtag Team Aisha. Let's make her viral, as I was saying. I mean, let's make sure everybody knows about this amazing, talented human being that I'm speaking right now. And Aisha, before I send you off, I need to send you off properly with an epic send-off. If you have seen some of my episodes before, you know exactly what I'm about to do. If not, I can surprise you. So let me just show you. You deserve this and a lot more. And again, thank you so much. Have an amazing weekend. An amazing rest of the weekend. Keep killing it. Keep being awesome. And I'll see you in the next one.
Thank you so much.
Have a good one, okay?
Bye. Yeah.